At Life Matters, we'd like to bring you the latest in citizen science, projects where you can get your database hands dirty in helping scientists process huge amounts of information on plants, birds, stars and mammals. But this latest one is different. It's actually asking us to help reveal the unknown history of our weather patterns that have been lurking in the yellowed pages of a 170-year-old weather journal. You interested? Of course you are. It's being run through the Australian National University, and with me is Caitlin Howlett, Citizen Science Project Manager for Climate History Australia. Caitlin, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Caitlin, just take us through, what are you asking us to help you with?
Yeah, so essentially we're looking for help so that we can help create Australia's longest daily weather record. So we've often, as climate scientists, wondered what Australia's climate was like before the official weather records began in the early 1900s. So the people in the 1800s were very impacted by our harsh Aussie climate. But there is actually some data gaps in Adelaide's daily weather record. And we've managed to track down some diaries that will fill those missing gaps in Adelaide.
And they just suddenly popped out of nowhere. Where were they sitting, and then where were they discovered?
Yeah, it is. It's actually quite an interesting story. It was a bit of a mix of pure dedication, but also a pure luck that led to the discovery of these journals. So it was actually an Aussie who's now based at the UK Met Office. His name's Professor Rob Allen, and he's the head of a group called ACRE, which stands for the Atmospheric Circulation Reconstructions Over the Earth. So he was browsing through the online archives of the National Archives of Australia late one night and happened upon these records. And he pretty much immediately understood how valuable they would be to climate scientists today.
So I think there's about 150 pages in this yellowed journal, and it's all written in spidery fountain pen copperplate, isn't it?
It's written in the most gorgeous cursive handwriting, which is actually one of the reasons why we need citizen scientists to help us transcribe it, because computers have trouble reading this cursive numbers and words, and especially when they're in these tabulated formats like meteorological observations. So this research really does rely on people in order to gather this important climate data before it's lost forever.
Well, Caitlin, I'll get back to you soon to ask how we can do all this volunteering for you. But with me as well is Dr. Joelle Gerges. Joelle is a lead researcher and climate scientist from the ARC Centre of Excellence for Climate Extremes. Joelle, this is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're really thrilled to be working on this record. We've been working with historical records for around about a decade, but what's particularly exciting about this record is that it will become the longest daily temperature and other weather variable record in one of the longest in the Southern Hemisphere. So we're pretty excited about piecing that together.
I think you were mentioning to me earlier that one of the other longest running sort of continuous weather records is in South Africa, and that constitutes, along with us, some of the best in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes, the record from Cape Town starts in 1834, so they're a little bit earlier than our record, but they actually finish up around 1900. So it's the Adelaide record which will be the longest continuous record from our region. So it is pretty exciting, but this sort of work is starting to emerge from lots of different places around the world because we want to better understand how our climate is changing as the planet continues to warm.
Well, this actually raised a question for me. I mean, I'm excited about the discovery. We love old things and uncovering what we didn't know existed. But I'm just wondering, what do records of weather from 150 years ago, pre-industrial Australia, carry now that we can learn from? Because everything's changed so dramatically.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and that's exactly what we're trying to get at. So we want to understand how Australia's climate variability and extremes have actually changed, because Australia's temperature has warmed by around 1.1 degrees since the start of the Bureau of Meteorology's records in 1900. And so by looking back into the past, we have these estimates of natural climate variability that aren't tainted by greenhouse gases. So we can start to see, well, what does the climate of Australia look like in the period where we don't have the sort of interference of human activity on the climate record. And then you can actually start to tease out the difference between what is natural and what is starting to be amplified by increases in greenhouse gases. And we also can see in the past that there are these events that, if they played out today, would actually cause a lot of societal disruption. So in the past, we used to see heat waves of 10 days, and sometimes these heat waves would have significant heat-related deaths and major agricultural damage. And so there's lots of records that we can look at from early newspapers and colonial records and government records to piece together what actually happened when our climate was extreme in the past. And then we can think about how we can take that information and what it means for future climate risk assessment. So if we have one of these 10-day scorches come through in a climate that is now over a degree warmer than it was in the past, they'll have significant impact. So as scientists, we're really keen to get our hands on these really early records, because they are these untainted, if you like, estimates of pre-industrial or natural climate variability.
Caitlin, describe to us how these records are written in cursive, which of course is a fancy pants way of saying running writing, which is what we used to call it back in the day, and that computers find it very hard to recognise those symbols as anything at all, which is why we're needed. But aside from temperature, what else are being measured in these now recently discovered journals?
Well, we're particularly interested in looking at barometric pressure readings, because when we have readings of pressure, we can get a sense of the weather patterns that move through. So the sorts of conditions that lead to things like heat waves or cold snaps. We're particularly interested in pressure observations, but you can also get information about past rainfall and a range of other variables like wind. And we can start to piece all of these different variables together to get a clearer sense of how the climate was varying in the past. And then we can also look at the historical documents of the time to think about, well, how do they actually impact people, which to me is also a really fascinating component of the work. But to be able to do this work, we need to begin by looking at these instrumental weather observations, so these direct measurements of weather conditions, and then we can start to piece it together using a range of different variables that we have in records like this one.
Which is what citizen science is all about. So, Caitlin, let's say we want to sign up, and I can hear people just scrabbling to come to you on this one. People just would love this. And we do have a link on our website where you can volunteer. But when people do, Caitlin, what are you actually asking us to do to help digitise this? What do we need to do at home?
Yeah, so essentially the task is going to be to transcribe these instrumental observations. So there'll be temperature and pressure for the numbers. And for those who prefer working with words, there are remarks or comments on the cloud types, so the wind direction and speed. And another really important part of our research is understanding whether or not it rained that day. So once you've read through the tutorial, and it's all very clear on a lovely citizen science platform known as Zooniverse, and once you've read through that tutorial, you can get started. It's within a matter of minutes, and there will be a couple of tough kind of sections to transcribe, because some of the pages are torn or missing and so on, but we still really want you to try and use your best guess and see what you can make out from these cursive numbers.
And you're being pretty clever here, aren't you? Because you're cross-indexing different people's responses to get what would be the most accurate portrayal of figures and data and letters and numbers.
Yeah, so we do ask people to enter each observation about 8 times. So there will be other people who see the same data that you're transcribing as well. So I think you really do need to just put your best guess down, because that's better than nothing for us.
And then if your best guess turns out to be the best guess of, say, 7 other people, then you're going to draw a conclusion. That's probably
what it is.
Well,
it would be the consensus, yeah. It would be the consensus number of if, say, 5 people said it was all that number, then, yeah, that gives us pretty good confidence in that data.
Joelle Gerges, when I read about this project and the invitation that was launched yesterday for all of us to get involved in the Citizen Science Project, it actually sparked a thought in my mind as well, that I know for a fact that there are farms and homesteads across this country which have multiple generations of weather records accurately prescribed or described sitting in their filing cabinets dating back to maybe their great or great-great-grandparents' time. Would you like them as well?
Oh, look, absolutely. If we have any long runs of instrumental weather observations in that pre-1900 period, it would be amazing to hear from people, because there's always really interesting stories associated with the sorts of people that were taking these weather observations. And it is really important that we understand what was going on outside of the city centres as well. So if there are people out there that know about family records that might have been kept for multiple generations, then absolutely we'd love to hear from you.
But the key is that you're looking for ones from the 19th century, because from, what, Federation onwards, we've got a pretty accurate representation?
Yeah, so the Bureau of Meteorology's official records begin in 1900, and that's why we're trying to target that 19th century period, because we know there are a lot of observations that are out there, and very often they're in they're very meticulously kept and they can be used for scientific analysis. So depending on where the records are from and how long they run for, so if it was just a year or two here or there, that's not particularly helpful for this sort of exercise that we're doing right now. But if they're actually long runs of things like rainfall or temperature or pressure, then we would be really interested to hear more about that.
So, yes, it's a continuity that counts as much as the accuracy, I guess. So that's a separate thing aside from the citizen project that you're inviting us to be involved with now, which is, of course, these 150 recently discovered yellowed pages. So, Caitlin, people can click on the link and then what, they can just start straight away, can they?
Created some workflows into easy, medium and difficult. So once you have worked out some of the quirks of any of the wide pages, you can, from the easy workflows, challenge yourself more with the medium and difficult. Although, to be honest, the feedback so far has been that the medium and difficult aren't at all difficult. Perhaps people want more of a challenge as well.
Okay. So you're already getting a response. How many in total of volunteers do you need to make sure that you get the clarity you're seeking on this?
Yeah, it does depend really on how engaged each of the volunteers is. Is it going to be people coming on for just a few minutes, or will people spend hours on it? And I can definitely testify to the fact that it can be a bit addictive, so be wary. But we do have a lot of really dedicated volunteers. At the moment, because we've got around 4,000 days that need to be transcribed, we're thinking it will take perhaps a couple of weeks. We currently have around 200 volunteers who are active on the site, but we'd love to see more of an Australian local effort around that, because Zooniverse is an international platform, but it would be great to see some Australians getting behind this Australian data.
Yeah, 4,000 days is actually quite a bit of time to really prescribe or describe. That's really interesting. Joelle Gerges, can I ask you, just as we finish up here, the information that's gleaned from these pages and the kind of data that then adds to our Australian knowledge of climate patterns over time, does that also feed into a global database?
Absolutely. So we're actually part of a global effort to try and recover these historical weather observations. And what we're really interested in looking at is what was the continent of Australia doing during these times in the past, where we know, for instance, that there was something called the Little Ice Age, which was a globally cool period. And that really peaked in our region around about the 1840s, 1850s. And so we still don't actually understand very well what happened in our region. So by using these types of records, we can start to get some clarity around a period where it used to be really snowy in South Australia back in that time. And so what we do in the Southern Hemisphere is really important, because it feeds into our global understanding of climate variability and climate change, which is of interest because obviously the planet is warming, and this is an opportunity to be a part of the scientific process and actually start to piece together our climate history. And one thing that we will be doing as well is analysing the data set and then letting our volunteers see the sorts of things that we were able to discover from the data set. So that's really important for us to help people get a better understanding of the scientific process and understand that actually this type of work really does need a small army, if you like, and that's why we've put this forward in the hope that people are excited about it and want to get involved in what is actually a really important scientific endeavour.
Well, I think it's really exciting. I can't wait to hear the results of this. Thank you both very much indeed, Caitlin Howard and Dr. Joelle Gerges, for taking the time today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. And as I mentioned before, that link to volunteering for the Citizen Science Project is up on our website, along with another link if you have a storage in your filing cabinet somewhere of pre-19th century or pre-20th century weather data that's been stored in your homestead or farmhouse over all those years.